Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republics for the United States of America. I want to welcome you on our Monday night call, and those that you'll be listening in, we got a power-packed night. It's going to be a blessing. John Rockwell is going to be on just very shortly here, bring a powerful word and some, and also some music, and then we're going into Roger Waters with a, he's a great storyteller. I love it. This is packed full of scripture, so it's going to be a little different from what he normally brings, but it's outstanding. Bruce and Linda Dietler are going to bring the meat of the word following. And if we have any time left, we're going to do some prayer. But this is a power-packed night to get us set up for that which is coming. Now, I'm going to ask Steve Lutzer in just a second, and Steve, you'll understand. Elaine Hayes came out today, and the word that she had was, the bride is in full array. It's time to come out of hiding. And several weeks ago, she had a vision and a dream. And she was walking with the Lord through a field of flowers and walking along, and she heard him say, my bride will arise in full array just like this field, and let my glory be seen throughout you this day. So we've been speaking on and teaching on the glory of God for some time, and the seed of his glory and the light of his glory. And he is saying this day to sons and daughters, come forth and let my beauty, my gifts in you radiate so that others will see how great I am. Steve was on a prayer ascension Saturday morning. Steve, can you give a snippet about what God did and talk to you all about real quick?
Sure. I'd be honored to. Very briefly, the Lord took us to a very open place, and there in front of us was a diamond, and there's a lot of other things that happened around it, as you, those of you who do that know. But the point, the Lord took us to this place where this diamond was, and the diamond, he told us it was light. It was I'm trying to find my notes here, but it was very light, and but the light was strong, but it was soft. If you can imagine that, it was strong, but it was soft. And the Lord told us to pick the diamond up and to put it in our hearts, because he is our light, and he wanted us to have that sense of his presence and his strength for us during these times that are coming before us. And it was just an amazing, a very strong and powerful time when God just, to me, it was a very strong assurance of his power, his strength, his presence in us for these times in which we're entering.
Wow. And, you know, the Lord is saying today, he says, you know, you don't know when and you don't know how, but all of mankind is going to bow before him. And as sons and daughters, the highest office you can obtain is not a pastor, not a teacher, not an evangelist, not a prophet, not an apostle. It's a son and a daughter. Highest office there is, sons and daughters. And he says, every knee is going to bow. So let go of your pride, of all selfish ambition, and receive the divine presence of him and the light of his glory, and be, let your heart be like diamonds, obedient in humility and walking in his authority, because he's saying the day is coming upon us where you're going to make a difference, not only in your life, in your family, but in your city, your state, the nation, because you're going to come out as the bride, and people are going to see it, and they're going to run to you and want to know, what has happened? What's the difference? Why do you put off such light? Why is there such glory on you. It's going to be the presence of the Lord, and you're going to dispatch his glory. You're going to give the light of his glory out to burn out all the dross in their lives. So we're in a time and a season where our focus has to be laser sharp. We're going to have to be able to discern when he says turn right, you better turn right. And when he says stop, you better stop, or left, you better turn left, because that which is about to take place is greater than anything we've ever seen as a people before, because it's a divine presence and a glory of the bride. Now, he was here before, as we all know, and he sent out his disciples and gave them that position and authority, but the bride had not been prepared. And that's what's been going on for these centuries now, and it's coming up upon us. So, Father, as we prepare to be able to see the separation between them and us, to be able to walk in the place of authority, to be able to recognize that which we're supposed to do, that we can hear from heaven, and that we can literally know what is said in the throne room of heaven and bring it down to the boardrooms, every circumstance and situation, he said he'll give us that which we're to say and know and understand at that moment when we have to have it. And we will speak not of any of ourselves, but of him. So, Father, I'm asking for the light of your glory. I'm asking for the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. I'm asking for an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, show up afresh and anew in our lives tonight. Let the light of your glory come upon us, and let us shine, 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 and let that light bring about your glory, your presence, for this time and season that we're in, that you would be magnified, and we would have a great time of great peace and joy as the enemies before us that have caused all this destruction of the earth, we will see no more, according to your promise. Pour out your Spirit, O Lord. Bring anointing upon Bruce and Linda, upon John, upon Roger, upon all the prayers this night and each and every one of us, and be glorified in Yeshua's name, and let the shofar sound or the bells. Glory, glory. John has got a powerful word for you, something that the Lord has revealed, and you're going to be blessed. And it might shake you a little bit, but that's okay. John?
Yeah, it may shake anybody and everybody, but we'll see what happens. Father, I just thank you for tonight. Thank you for everybody that is here. And please bless the words that I have to say and help me get through it, because it is pretty fresh, and it's something that's hard for me, but it's something you told me to write down and to present. So I'm being obedient, and that's what I'm doing. I just thank you and praise you tonight in Yeshua's name. I'm just going to read what I've got written, and then I'm going to yield back to Wade. This last week, we visited Janet's dad and stepmom on April 9th, which happened to be Nisan 1, to get their taxes and to mail them before leaving town on a short trip. After that, her dad wanted her to look over some bills, and I went over next door to visit our granddaughter, Abby, because she lives right next door to Janet's dad. Janet's dad saw that I was over at Abby's part of the duplex and came over for me to check out the dishwasher connections for about the 10th time. He's 96 and his memory isn't the best. He wanted to make sure it works for our first great-granddaughter, Eden, being born and due in the end of May. We went into the basement to check out the water supply, and it was on, and I noticed that he was pale, but I didn't think too much about it. We finished checking things out, and we started up the stairs, and he told me to go up first. I got two-thirds the way up the stairs, and I heard a clunk and then a sigh breathing out, and I knew he had fallen. Without turning around, I yelled to Janet, that he had fallen, and immediately I was kneeling beside him, looking at his eyes, and they were empty, and they were looking straight up, and I knew his spirit was gone. In my mind, I said, it's not his time. He's prophesied over himself several times that he would live to be 100. I took a hold of his right shoulder and his left leg, and it started twitching. He tried to get up several times, and I said, no, just rest. He calmed down, and I knew he was back. I don't know how long this was because I was outside of time. We were outside of time. He doesn't remember how it happened either. I didn't feel anything leave me, but I do know that Yeshua is inside of me and he was doing a work. By then, Janet was with me and I noticed that his head was bleeding on the back, I noticed he was bleeding on the back of his head, and Janet got a towel for the back of his head. The paramedics arrived in about 8 minutes, I was told. At the hospital, after being checked out, he had been dehydrated. Half of his back was bruised. He had 2 cracked ribs and a 1-inch gash on the back of his head. He's back home from the hospital, being there for 5 days. I don't know how this will turn out, but Romans 8:28 says, and we know with all great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Wade?
John, you didn't tell me. You said it was going to be strong. You and I have both had that experience now.
Right.
And
that's why I didn't say a whole lot.
Yeah. Whew. And God forbid that any of you have to be there when a loved one passes. I've been, as a pastor, been at many of those situations and prayed for many times for restoration and seen them come back, some only for days, some for months, some for years, some not at all. I know with Frances, you know, she was gone for 10 minutes, and there's probably, you know, close to that for John's father-in-law. But God, and he's allowing us the extra time that the enemy was trying to steal from us, and it's to be cherished, and every day. Whew. John, you want to do that song now, or you want to do it later?
I don't have a song for tonight. This took me 3 or 4 days to compile and change and to add and to edit. So that was about all that I could do.
I can imagine. I can't imagine. You know, I was at the passing of Francis's parents, and they begged us to let him go, but only after we led him to the Lord. And you know, what a sobering circumstance and situation you were in for everybody, for your, you know, for your grand, is it your daughter or granddaughter that has that place?
It was my granddaughter. It was in her apartment. But I didn't put this in the thing. He fell down the stairs, as I said, but she was the one that called 911, and of course, I don't know how much time transpired went, you know, by. That's not what my focus was. I assume it was minutes, but it could have been seconds. It could have been even longer than that. I don't know. I worked on it. I started on Friday working on it, and I worked on Saturday, and I went and changed a few things as things came back to me. It's been a process, but even before I got home after, you know, it happened, we didn't go on our trip, as you probably can tell.
Right.
And so I got back, and immediately Lord told me that I needed to write it down. You know, I don't write many things down. I put other things together, and writing is not the gift that I've got, even though I can do it, but I was told to write this down.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, you need the record for sure. Well, I spent about 6 hours on a technologist weekend working with an MIT scientist, and mine was tough, but mine was nothing compared to yours. My 6 hours were a walk in the park. There was no emotion. There was no, you know, it wasn't about the Lord and family. It was about getting a tech published. And, you know, I think about the rewrites I did. Your rewrites had to be volumes. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
Roger's got a powerful word. It's going to bless you. It's a little different than his normal writing. I consider Roger one of our best storytellers. This is straight, strict, right out of the Word of God, and until you get into it. And then he brings it. So, Roger?
Ooh, thank you.
There we go. Okay.
You know, let me just say this before I get started. John, you've joined a club.
Yeah.
Many of us on this call have experienced something that could not happen in the physical realm. A lot of us have experienced death ourselves. We've come back ourselves, you know, with God's miracle of his hands, his love, even his forgiveness. If we are truly called by him to be here now, then we are all going to wind up being promoted, you might say, from the regular human race to a realm that many have not ever seen. We know what the Spirit does. We know how he operates. And when you have that throne room experience for the first time, your knees go weak. You can't stand. You shake. Because you got the presence of the Creator, and you're standing as a creation right in front of me, and your body just can't take it. And yet through all that, when you leave and you come back to this particular realm, you have had what I call a throne room experience. You change. I don't care how strong of a believer you were before, you change. You have to, or you die. It's just that simple. Ultimate power comes from the throne room. Man cannot make any kind of a weapon that surpasses the power sitting on that throne. So, John, what you experienced, and I know you know this, but I'm just going to put it out there for those who will listen to this later. You experienced the power and the creative power of the throne room from the Creator himself. Even though everything that you explained is 100% like it was a miracle that he's even still talking and breathing. It's a miracle that you just happened to be there at that point in time. But that's the way our God works. He will set you up.
Yeah.
He'll put people in your place in front of you when you need them the most. I've experienced that. I know Wade has. Now that you have shared that, John, I don't know about other things in your past, but to me it sounds like you just stepped up and you become in the same kind of group that God has established here, in the fact that we now have all seen the thing that is never supposed to happen because we believe, because we are picked by his hand to be here at this moment in time. How can we further the kingdom if we don't know what a miracle is? if we've never seen one take place? How can we further the kingdom if we know nothing about heaven? The only way to know what heaven is like is to actually be there, at least according to Christ. That's what he did. He thought like he was from there. Well, some of us have been there. We know. And John, you know, welcome to the group in that respect. Because your testimony with just that is such a powerful thing. How many people are going to listen to this in the next week and realize that they're in the same boat you are? Now they know how to get through it. They know how to get around it. They know how to beat it. They know because of what you just shared. That's more powerful than any weapon you could ever form on this planet.
Amen.
Because what you're doing is you're giving light to people that are drowning in death. So thank you, John.
Let me preempt you on just a minute here as you go into your scripture. Roger supplied me with the Hebrew to English translation. I could not manipulate it on my computer to get it to fit and work, so I went to the Amplified Classic Edition, which is the closest to that we currently are aware of. So, Roger, if you want to teach out of what you have, that's fine. Let's get after it. Glory.
Okay. See, I have warned you before. If they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, don't go out there. If they tell you, behold, he's in the secret places or the inner rooms, don't believe it. For just as lightning flashes from the east and shines and is seen as far as the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not shed its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and beat their breasts with lament and anguish, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of the universe to the other. I sat there and I watched and I listened to what he said. And then he started speaking about the days of Noah and how it would be before he returned. Knowing what the days of Noah were like, it frightened me to a degree. I watched the look on all the faces when they understood of how it would be. And when Yeshua spoke about it, I went away with shock and wondering if they would even know it. But as one asked another, well, just what was it like in the days of Noah? And what was going on? See, when Noah was in his 600th year, he already had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They, as a family, were perfect before Yahweh because they had not been corrupted by the 200 watchers. So when the order came down from heaven to build an ark, the essence of the human race had already been corrupted by these 200 watchers. Their curse was that they began a chant with one another, and they had an oath with one another. But now they are in the lowest part of hell, Tartarus. It's where the river Sphinx goes. They are there until the day of the great judgment. And only they are there. when the giants died in those days, their spirits left their body. They roamed the earth until they found a place to live inside a human host one more time. From the body they came, into a body they will seek to live again. There is no escaping this. They are here among the humans on the earth, and they will remain here till the very last day. But what happened next was the least for the humans, who are to be ruling over this entire earth. But Gadriel was given and took that from Adam. And now he runs this earth completely. This is his domain, his authority, his jurisdiction. But what happened was great destruction all over the earth. Why all the earth, you ask? Because there were giants all over the earth. What was about to happen was going to be a major change on this earth. Before this time, marriage was a simple thing. There were no human laws concerning marriage. A man would make an agreement with the woman's father, and it was done. Remember, there was no laws yet. Marriage itself wasn't a problem. It was all about the giants taking the daughters of the human race and producing offspring called giants, some taller than trees. Destruction was coming. And it all goes all the way back to the creation. On the fourth day, the Creator created the great light, the sun, and the lesser lights, stars. During this time, there were planets being formed, stars being born. There were even stars that were dying. There was a period of time before the fourth day that there were to the sun and stars, thus no time or times as we know it were here. There were no sunrises, no sunsets, and as humans see them now, one day those two will all go away, and the light from the Creator will be their light. There was this huge object that orbited the sun that showed up in Noah's 600th year. And during that year, many things began to change. There was no rain falling from the sky, but they all knew about the canopy of water high in the sky that circled the planet. It's called the firmament. Dew formed every morning on the ground and watered everything for the day. And the fruits and the grains were nourished by the dew. But this object came closer and closer to the planet, and the earth tilted some, which thought brought off the water into the seas, and it began to slash back and forth like a water in a bucket. The animals were just placed into the ark, and the Creator closed the door from the outside, locking all the animals, Noah, his wife, and their three sons, and their wives inside. That is when it happened. Have you ever heard? I am the one that shuts doors that no man opens, and I am the one that opens doors that no man can close. There was great earthquakes. Some shook the entire planet. As the ground broke apart and split apart seven places, water came up from the ground, from underground rivers and lakes. And then this object came so close, there were lightning strikes back and forth, wide as some valleys. And the rain began to fall. And everyone close to the ark stared, pounding on the doors to let them in. But the doors never opened. Then there was this water rising on the earth, and the water falling from the earth, and the canopy from above came crashing down. The entire landmass broke apart. The water fell from the sky for 40 days and 40 nights, and it rose over everything and anything on the earth. It took 150 days to have everything come back to normal once again. This object came towards the sun, went around the sun, and then went away from the sun. 150 days. It started on the second month, the 17th day of IR. And it finished the seventh month, the 17th day of October. 150 days. Genesis tells us 320 total days in the ark. The giants that were on the earth, tens of thousands of them all died. And all the large land creatures died as well. Large birds, sea creatures remained, however, and began to die off over the next few centuries. The whales, the sharks, some squid and octopus remained and hid in the deep until the time of Job. This is what happens in the days of Noah. And this is what the Messiah was referring to. Not so much as there being giants, but as the days that were like that in Noah's day. The changing of the essence of mankind. You call it the very essence of life. It's called DNA. The Creator destroyed this creation because of all the corruptness, and He started it all over again with Noah's family. It took man 4,800 years to begin to do it all over again. This time, though, what is known as synthetic drugs, shots, vaccines, and now in the last days of all this that the Messiah was referring to, here we are, and it's happening again. And this time it's forced upon the people. As Alexander the Great kept repeating a lie, then this people believed that lie along with others like Hitler, Stalin, Z, and others today. Their followers will always follow the lie. That is what the Messiah said. If you hear them say, "He's over there," don't go, for they are liars. Ezekiel 46:1 says, "Thus saith the Elohim, Yahweh, the gate in the inner court that looks towards the east shall be shut the six working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. In that day there will meet me many that hear a teaching that sounds really good, even spiritual, but do not know that all humans are created with the spirit inside of them. It is the breath of the Creator, and thus everything we say is spiritual. Be aware, there is still a bloodline out there from Nimrod's blood that is not quite the same as yours. They are the ones that sit next to you in your churches, in school, at work. They are the ones Enoch warned you about. These are the ones that have that evil spirit inside of them. They are of the evil one. They have looked and found a house, cleaned and swept, and made their inhabitants inside, and will not leave because from a human body they came, and a human body they look for. For these are the spirits of the giants of Noah's day, making a return to the planet through genetics. As Yeshua sat upon the Mount of Olives, he looked down upon Jerusalem that day, and he thought to himself, "One day I will return here, and many enemies will see me and be against me. They will prepare for my return to be ready to wage war." So a warning to all that read this, Take note to what your Messiah has said. If you hear someone, anyone who speaks of a different doctrine than what Messiah spoke and spoke about, then he is a liar and there is no good thing in him. Take note that all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. I, Gabriel, a high servant of Yahweh, as the lead angel known as the one of the seven archangels that rule in the universe, deliver a message to you that you may be informed and ready. Just as I gave the message to Mary, a 16-year-old virgin, in her days of the coming of the Messiah, now I give you a message that the Messiah is coming once again, not as a baby, but as a warrior, a king with none above him, as a prince of peace, who will take away all that is evil in this kingdom. He is a deliverer to those who are imprisoned. He is a healer to those who are sick and brokenhearted. He is returning very soon, for the seventh day is upon you. And he is the same as he was in Noah's day, with right justice and right judgment. Be ready. He comes to judge and to deny entry into his kingdom to all that oppress, kill, steal, and lie, but allow entrance to those who bow and worship him and his name and is covered by his blood. Way to heal.
Boy, powerful, powerful, powerful. What a true word. You know, we look at the problems today around us and we think tribulation surely upon us. We've not seen anything like tribulation yet. Some nations have seen tribulation, but not even to the point of what the Lord is saying. And when you look at Scripture and it says that he's coming back for his bride, okay, he's not coming back for a beat-up, defunct world. He's coming back for a victorious bride, those in him who have overcome. One of the things that we have to look at and remember, when Christ said that we are in him and he is in us, and that, is so powerful. And it's John 14:20, it says, at that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. What a promise. What a promise. Well, that's the warm-up. Between John and Roger right there, we've had a pretty good meal, but all we've had is the first course of a 6-course meal. And Bruce and Linda are going to bring it with the wall. Bruce?
That was my cue?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to share what the Lord had placed on my heart. It may not be heavy theology or anything like that, and I'm not going to share a lot of scripture, but I'm going to share a lot of truth, and I pray that it will speak to everyone's heart. My interest in architecture goes way back, being raised back east. You know, my brother had a home that was built in the 1600s, and our home currently was built in the 1880s, and so we like old things. Well, in high school, I had 3 years of Latin in high school, and the third year we read Caesar's Gallic Wars in Latin, and it obviously was about his wars, and very, very interesting. So I got all interested in the things of Roman culture and architecture and so on. And I've studied it a little bit. I really enjoy it. But I got to thinking about some of the architectural marvels they constructed. There are huge, beautiful aqueducts that are still in existence today. The road system, you know, I mean, for miles and miles and miles, beautiful road system, the Colosseum, which is still in operation, the Pantheon, which is one of the oldest buildings in existence. It's been up there for over 2,000 years, and the concrete they use to build that heals itself, which is amazing. They just figured out how it does that. Anyway, all this is real interesting to me, but one thing that has captured my imagination and is on my bucket list, if I have a bucket list, is Hadrian's Wall. Hadrian was a Roman emperor in the early 120s AD, and he built a wall across northern England from the west to the east, a total of 73 miles. This is all done by hand. It took six different battalions, I believe it was. It took 6 years to complete, 15,000 legionnaires working for 6 years to build a wall. The wall was both stone and earthen, and it was 10 feet thick and 15 feet high. And if that weren't enough, on either side of the wall, they dug a 10-foot deep ditch. So any enemies coming from the north, these quote-unquote barbarians, would have to first of all go down the ditch, then go up 25 feet to the top of the wall to jump over the wall to go down another 10 feet and hope they survived if they were to attack Rome, which Roman England. It was very, very formidable. But it wasn't just the wall. Along the 73-mile wall, they had 14 forts. Each housed 600 men, and between the forts, there were fortified mile castles every mile. And during these, in these mile castles, there were between 12 and 20 men. Then beyond that, they had additional guard towers every third of a mile. This was a formidable barrier. And not only did it provide defense, but it also served as a means of restricting immigration into and out of Roman territory. Walls, there's all sorts of different walls, and it's interesting to study wall construction. The Assyrians used walls way back when. The Chinese obviously have the Great Wall of China. They served as protective barriers for the cities of Jerusalem, Jericho, Babylon, and multitudes of others. They were used during the Middle Ages. Kings built walls around their castles. Even Joe Biden has built a wall around his little castle in Delaware. But so did Donald Trump in Florida. The point is, walls work, and they are designed to keep unwanted individuals out as well as for keeping populations and individuals in, separated from the outside world. Think of the Berlin Wall in that case. Anyway, I wanted to share a story about a different type of wall, but I wanted you to think how formidable and powerful walls are. They can keep people in, or they can keep people out. There's a story that actually, this was a book that came to my attention years ago that I don't even remember how I got a hold of the book, but the book is this is going to be a book report, actually, written by Gloria J. Evans, who is a counselor. Okay, she published it in 1977. The title is The Wall, and it is a parable. Now, I was looking online, and I happened upon the Kindle description about the book, and I thought that was extremely well done. So let me read what Kindle says about this. And you can get this on Kindle. You can get it on Amazon. And I would encourage everyone, get this book. It's a shorty, but it is powerful. Anyway, the Kindle description says, "The Wall is the story of an incident or a lifetime. It is one woman's dilemma, or the dilemma of all mankind. The Wall is a modern parable about what happens when we surround ourselves with protective walls of our own making. We shut ourselves in, deprive others of light and love and fellowship. We can build walls so high we can't get out, at least not without help. But there is help, help that sometimes comes in ways we don't expect. The Wall, this story, is a very wise little story about people and God and relationship. Read it, lend it to a friend, give it as a gift. The Wall is sure to make you think and to lift your heart. Now, the illustrations in this short book, these are all basically stick figures. It's all black and white, but it's very, very powerful. It's about just a woman. The woman in the story doesn't remember when she began to build her wall. She built it as a sort of protection, you know, to keep people out of her life. It started very small, but over time, she found it necessary to increase its height again and again. Over time, she became so absorbed in her wall that she found little time for anything else. She continually searched her life for new and different stones, and she found stones that she didn't even know she had. One day, she realized she was all alone. Her world was so quiet, so very, very quiet, and she was in darkness. And then it happened. A flower fell at her feet. Someone had tossed a flower over her tall, ugly wall. She picked it up and began looking at its perfection and began to see the folly of her own wall and its imperfection. A, quote, blessed presence came over her, and hope sprang up in her heart. And this term, blessed presence, is used throughout the short book. I said, as the story progresses, this blessed presence begins to show the woman her error and give the stones names: jealousy, resentment, stubbornness, pride. If they are to be removed, it is she who would have to remove them, but he would help. As the stones begin to be removed, light enters in. She begins to see out. Eventually, she is able to step outside her wall and encounters others who had built their own walls in the past or who are currently in the building process. She desperately wants to tell them of the blessed presence and of his ability to help them too, but no one listens. The blessed presence encourages the woman to remember the flower that fell at her feet and to remember that other individuals had attempted to reach out to help her in her misery. And he then says, go and do likewise, for to whom much is given, much is expected. However, none will listen to her pleadings in wanting to help them. That is, until one day she finds a little flower growing at her feet, plucks it, and throws it over someone's wall. And you can imagine the rest of the story. You're going to have to get the book to find out what happens. But she picked up a flower and threw it over somebody else's wall. And my question from that book, which was extremely impactful to me, is not this the ministry to which the Lord has called each of us? Not I'm a prophet, I'm an apostle, I'm this, I'm that. No, I'm a flower thrower. We are to be throwing flowers over walls of despair, resentment, pride, selfishness, rejection, fear, torment, religiosity, and others. Does not each one of us have walls in various stages of construction or demolition, yet still remaining in our own life? Do we not at times need the intervention of someone who has felt that blessed presence? Do we who ourselves have felt that blessed presence in our own circumstances not yearn to share his love and compassion with others also? Remember, the secret of Jesus' ministry was compassion. Where is the compassion for throwing flowers over others' walls? So how are we supposed to minister to such wall builders? It is not by telling them they're sinners and going to hell. If they are, they likely already know that. It's not by telling them their wall is ugly. They know that also. It's not by preaching at them or demanding they change their lifestyle. It is by showing forth the love and action of that blessed presence and compassion. It is the goodness of God which draws men to repentance, and it is that very goodness which we are to show forth, not judgment or condemnation. I'm going to share a story about our two neighbors, one on either side of us here in our beautiful little tiny town. I call this Captain America. Those of you who saw the movie years ago, title of the movie, Easy Rider. Captain America was the name of the lead character in Easy Rider. Now, these two neighbors, one on either side of us in our little town, basically hated each other. And we happened to buy the house between them, and they didn't seem to like us too well either. When we finally set out to build a wooden privacy fence around the back of our property. We're building a wall, you understand. We were trying to keep the bunnies out of the garden. The one neighbor, Captain America, as I call him, verbally attacked our contractor for daring to put a wooden stake into his yard to steady the fence post as the concrete was setting. And this is just symptomatic of this individual. The other neighbor had recently surveyed his property, so we knew where his property line ended and where ours began. I had the plat for our property, so I knew we had exactly 75 feet across the front of the property. So one day the Lord gave me the idea, hey, have Captain America help you measure out your property distance. And I mentioned here, I call him Captain America because of his big Harley Davidson and his long hair. He's a former Marine, and don't mess with him. Anyway, he agreed, and so I handed him one end of the tape measure, and I took the other end. I started at the south end of the property, at the other neighbor's property line, and I had him march out as far as the thing went, and then we marked that spot. He went a total 75 feet to the far north side of the property. And he stretched forth the tape to the 75-foot mark. He suddenly realized he was now well past our fence line and onto what he had previously thought was his own property. I said nothing. There was no need. His attitude changed immediately and forever. Since that time, since the Lord broke the bondage there, I get out the snowblower in the few times that it does blow snow around here, and I blow off both neighbors' walkways every storm. On occasion, I mow their lawns. And you know, we could not ask for better neighbors. Sometimes, I said, you just got to love them to life. We threw flowers over both of their walls, and the blessed presence did his perfect work and continues to do so. Captain America considers us his very, very best friends.
And we wouldn't want any different neighbors. They're a blessing.
I note in Jeremiah 1, 9 and 10, God's charge to the prophet Jeremiah. But I would contend that it is a charge to each of us as well. The verses say, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy and throw down, to build and to plant." So we are to be those individuals who root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down the walls of separation between individuals and God, then to build up and plant into their lives the love of Yeshua and the seeds of righteousness. We are called as ministers of reconciliation. We are called to be light and salt in the earth and flower throwers. We are not called to be judges, jury, or any such thing. We are called to be lovers of God and lovers of people, and they will know that we are his disciples by the love that they see in us. But we need to understand why people build walls. Walls are built for defensive purposes. Some individuals have been terribly hurt or embarrassed in the past, don't want to suffer ever again. So they build a wall, and sometimes an extremely high, thick wall. Some feel totally inadequate when comparing themselves to others, so they build a wall of protection. Others build walls in pride of their supposed spirituality or their intellect or whatever. We ourselves may build walls around others simply because they belong to a different political party or race or something than we do. All this is so very sad, and we are called to love people the way Yeshua would love them. We may not agree with them or their opinions or lifestyle. We don't have to agree with them, but we have to love them to life. It's been said that God loves us and loves them just the way they are, but too much to let them remain that way. He will do the perfecting in their lives after the walls come down. As we ask of him, God will show us the most effectual ways to toss flowers over walls as we encounter them. It will likely be different in every situation. It may be by prayer, may be by anointing with biblical oils, according to James 5:14. It may be by baking cookies or mowing the lawn. It may be by just making the time to listen and show a degree of compassion and understanding to the hurts the individual is dealing with. God knows the best way, and he will show it to those of us who truly seek to be flower throwers. I suggest that we need to purpose to show forth his love, begin to throw flowers, and then watch to see what great things his blessed presence will do as a result. Now, I want to share one more thing. This is from Ann Jackson, from the Elijah list back from March 7th. She was talking about healing from woundedness. And several comments that she made I thought were very apropos to this. She said that each and every one of us have areas of pain and woundedness in our lives. It's part of being human. We know if we don't clean and tend a deep wound, it can become infected and wreak even greater havoc on the body. Our emotional wounds are the same. Many emotional wounds actually need tending in order to heal. However, many people don't allow their emotional wounds to heal. Instead, they allow resentment and bitterness to grow and fester and start to view the world through the lens of jadedness and anger. It's painful to clean a wound, but absolutely necessary for healing. In the same way, we must deal with our emotional wounds and bring them to the Lord. It's important to process pain and to heal it with the Lord with safe people. Processing pain hurts. Facing disappointment in the ways we've been wronged is scary. But it's imperative to living healed and whole. You are not meant to live wounded or lacking. You were created to live healed and whole. We heal in community, not in isolation. Ask God what your strategies for healing are. Let him lead you into full healing. And at the end of her offering, she had a number of different declarations, and I will pick out two here. I am experiencing full healing in areas of pain and woundedness, and then I add to this, and I am bringing healing to others. She said, God is pouring out full restoration over me, and I add, and to others through me. So may the thoughts expressed in this be a blessing to you. May it stir you to consideration and prayer and action. Look for those flowers, whatever the Lord would deem a flower, for you to be able to throw over somebody else's wall. I'll share my stepmother's story. She was a very, very bitter woman, did not like me at all, and I did not understand why initially, until I found out that her first husband had abandoned her, leaving her with two kids, no support, and she was totally broken. And she built a wall. Through time, we were able to throw flowers over that wall such that she came to receive Yeshua as her personal Savior before her death. So she will be rejoicing with flower throwers in the days ahead. So be blessed. We love you guys. We appreciate you and pray that this ministered to your hearts. Back to you, Wade.
Oh, that's so powerful. I mean, incredible powerful. What a beautiful application. You know, I was going to do communion tonight. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to pray into this as your communion, if you would lead us in communion.
As soon as my wife runs down to get it.
And, you know, so often the practical word is more powerful than any other preaching or teaching, because it heals the heart and the spirit and soul. Often we are able to receive the spirit, but never heal the soul. And we walk around as wounded warriors. And how important it is to bring that position into our lives. And he's not talking about being flower childs. He's talking about being flower throwers.
Amen.
What beauty there was in that teaching. Thank you so much. We're having a great night here.
Okay. Here's my beautiful bride.
All right.
All right. We're organized now. Glory to God. Oh, Father, what a privilege. What an opportunity. What a blessing, Lord, to be able to be invited to come into your presence. Father, we are so humbled to be your children, to be your sons, to be your daughters. Father God, we have had walls built up in our own lives and in many situations in the past, and you sent your only begotten Son, Yeshua, to throw the biggest flower of all over our walls to woo us into relationship, Father God, that we would come into your family to be your children, Father. We are blessed. We are honored. What an awesome privilege we have. We thank you that your Son, Yeshua, not only brought us into your household, Father, but he took our sicknesses. He carried our diseases, and with his stripes we were healed. So, Father, because of his victory for us, we reckon our bodies healed today, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet to the tips of our toes, every cell, tissue, organ system functioning perfectly according to God's divine blueprint. We thank you, Lord, that it is done, and we receive that victory tonight in the mighty name of your Son. We thank you, Father, for the precious blood of our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, poured out for us, Father God, on that cross on Calvary. Father God, that blood that washes deeper than sin ever stained, that has washed away our sins, Father, the powerful, all-powerful blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. I thank you, Father God, that through the power of that blood, the devil is under our feet. Every evil spirit, every demonic spirit, every curse that has come against us, we crush in the powerful name and by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you for the fullness of the victory that is ours now in this life, Father God, as we bring forth victory and throw flowers into lives of others, Lord. that you might receive the glory. So, Father, we partake of the elements tonight. We thank you, Father, for the victory through your Son, Yeshua. We give you the glory and the praise in his precious and holy and lovely name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Wow. What a beautiful message. I want to call on some people for prayers and see what the Lord does tonight. You know, we've had a great time in the Lord already. And there's so much coming up. You know, Passover coming up in this next week. The anointing of the Lord that is breaking forth like never before. People are seeing, hearing, and experiencing Yeshua in the Muslim nations, in Hindu nations, in places that you never thought. Drug addicts are coming. And, you know, I came from an era where tattoos wasn't a big thing, but it's become a big thing. And our children and this generation that's followed them, they look like they're art walls. And, you know, I was always opposed to it. But the Lord told me, and he says, you know, to quit beating people up with a velvet-covered hammer. I went, wow. You know, they call Barry once the Canadian hammer. Well, they called me the country hammer. I would smack people upside the head with it and bring harsh words and harsh message and keep on going, and I wasn't really afraid of anybody. And God got a hold of me and said, you know, quit using the hammer, love men. And that's what a message this was about, that great love. Steve Lufter, because of your time and everything, it's always precious to me that you join us like you do. Is there a word or a song or a prayer or a psalm that you want to lift up, or just anything you want to add tonight?
Thank you, Wade. Powerful night, and I appreciate the It's an amazing theme that the Lord has woven through tonight. And I just want to encourage us. A few weeks ago, I shared a message just about the seed that God planted, and Barry talked about it a little bit. The seed of eternity in the heart. He put eternity in the hearts of men. There's not a person alive on this earth that doesn't have that seed. And this was a great message and a great time, whether it's a family member that you know, we brought back from the gate of death, or throwing flowers over a wall. But I just want to encourage us to remember why we're here. You know, Peter talks about the fact that in the last days, people will say, well, where is the promise of his coming and all this kind of stuff? And he said he's waiting because he does not want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. And he's left us here to be the agents of that. So, Father, forgive us for the times that we have been critical and built our own walls and not been sensitive to the hurt around us in this world, and even acknowledging our own hurt that taints the way that we look at the world and treat other people. But Yeshua, you came to die on the cross to take that away and give us your spirit, your life. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd help us to have your perspective, have your vision of our world and the people around us, the people that you've put into our lives. Lord, help us to be life givers, flower throwers, love in skin. And help us, Lord, to see that everyone around us that doesn't know you, and Jesus died for them. because he loved them so much he couldn't imagine eternity without them. So use us to reach those people that yet need to hear, yet need to be touched by the amazing, powerful, eternal love of Yeshua. Use us, Lord. Forgive us again for our stubbornness and our hard-heartedness, and make us usable in your hands. Give us insight into those times, those glimpses of time when you give us opportunity to share or to touch a life, because you desire that they be with us, with you, for all eternity. And we pray it in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior and our coming King. Amen. And I yield back to you, Wayne.
Amen. Thank you, sir. So beautiful and powerful. John, is there something now? I've had a chance to get myself in check now. I hope you have. Is there additional prayer or word that you want to bring forth tonight? Or anything else you want to say?
Are you asking me?
No, this was John Rockwell.
Oh, John, sorry.
You know, it took a lot out of me to put what I put into words, and the, you know, all the experience accumulative of last week. I'm just gonna just continue to absorb for tonight, I think.
All right, for sure. Bruce, I'm going to hold on and ask you a little bit later. Martha, you got a prayer for tonight or a word that the Lord's given you this week?
Sorry, a Harley is stopping me at the moment. I'm sitting outside with a fire. I love the topic. I love the theme of the night, and it's a very good addition to what the Lord has had me thinking about this being a time of repentance, and just thinking about repentance and what how intimidating that can seem and how scary, because I in my ignorance and naivety, I was not raised in the Lord. I would think of repentance as you go in front of a group of people and air your dirty laundry, and then a nun runs out and beats you with a yardstick. it just sounded terrible. And yet repentance can be something so simple and gentle as just look up again. He's so ready for you to just look up and come back, and it's okay. No matter what, which is amazing to me. And the thought of us in this time, as things are getting scarier and things are getting shakier and things are getting more unstable, and we're seeing, you know, great leaders in the faith falling and being exposed and all this stuff coming out, to reach out to people more and just shine the love of God more and invite them and allow them to come back, to repent, to look up, to come back to him, to turn the other way. So Lord, give us wisdom and put people in our hearts to go to reach out to just, you know, say hello and God put you on my heart and God is thinking of you today and everything's going to be okay, and how to throw those flowers to people, to put some cracks in their walls, to allow love to come back in and heal them and nurture them and bring them back to a place where they feel safe and they feel protected and they feel provided for and cared for. But that is something that I see is so lacking, is people have been robbed of their peace. Lord, let us help us bring them back to peace and comfort and love and acceptance and safety in turning back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's good. Very good. Thank you. Mr. Underwood, do you have anything that the Lord's put on your heart that you'd like to say or pray tonight?
Sure. I'd like to pray some. Lord, thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for that you are, even as you rescue the children of Israel from the Red Sea and the Egyptians, you are rescuing us from our enemies. And I thank you, Lord, for the word that you gave me yesterday, that I hadn't thought of the scripture for a long time, but you gave me the scripture that says, through our God we shall do valiantly, for he it is who shall tread down our enemies. And I just give you praise for that promise, Lord. Hallelujah. And we receive that by faith for this nation and the nations of the world. Lord, I pray that you'll give supernatural wisdom to our dear president and the real president. And I pray that you will give supernatural wisdom to all those who are in the military and are standing, and not only standing, but fighting the fight and taking out the enemies. And we thank you, Lord, for giving all of them supernatural wisdom and protection in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Very good. Thank you, sir. Mark Binder, you got a prayer or word for tonight?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Got a prayer. Yahweh, our Creator and Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before your throne and give thanks for the blessings of this nation, America, and our Canadian northern neighbors with so much. We praise you for prophets who give us the news before the events even take place. And with the news of the future we have received, we can soar with eagles like never before. So although we are in this world, we are not of this world. We are of heaven. We are surrounded by darkness, but we are covered by the blood and light of the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who deliver us and protects us from the darkness and evil. We are washed, covered, saved, healed, and protected by the blood of Jesus, and the dark forces cannot defeat the blood. So, Father, help us to realize that your plan from the time of Adam was for us to rule and reign this earth, both priests and kings under the order of Melchizedek, under you. Help us to know that Jesus gave his life so that by his blood we are healed and also restored to our rightful place under God and above angels, animals, and plants. Because with this truth, we are victorious over all our enemies. So thank you, Father. Restore a republic better than it was when America first became a nation. Bless us with truth and justice for all people. Honor us with your divine providence during this time of cleansing, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Robert,
yes, sir.
Have you got something that you want to pray or say tonight? Mr. Zulaga, you got yourself muted. Not. There you go.
Well, firstly, I'm going to make it brief because I have contending with something in my throat and my upper chest. But I just want to say amen. Amen to John Rockwell's testimony of raising life, speaking life where there is death, to Roger's story. Bruce, the whole story of the wall and soul healing speaks to what's been going on in my world for at least the last month or more. All the interactions that I'm having with folks is is being a minister of reconciliation. And the hardest thing about that, Brother Wade, is to not be a velvet hammer, to not feel like I have to teach them something or to make them feel wrong somehow in the way they are. And, you know, that just comes home to me in multiple relationships I'm dealing with. So Heavenly Father, I thank you. This is probably the most powerful call that I can remember. I'd love it if it doesn't get recorded over next week. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you so much that as we come together, we heal each other, we purify each other, we sharpen each other's sensitivity to your calling in our heart. So, Lord, I just give you praise and glory and honor. I thank you, as Mark says, that the prophets go before us. They tell us what is to come. They give us a sign. They give us a signature of your work. For all of the signature in the skies we saw last week, I just see good coming out of it, good for your body. So we give you praise and glory and honor tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Roger? Is there anything else you'd like to say or pray that the Lord's put on your heart?
Well, Wade, you know, Passover's next week. And on the 18th, which is this week, is what the Bible calls Separation Day. That was the day that Moses was to take a lamb from the flock and bring it into the house and keep it separated for 4 days and then kill it on the 14th day of the month, which is Passover. And I really believe with all my heart that in the spiritual realm, this year, the 18th, Separation Day, is going to be when the tares and the wheat are becoming to be separated. That his people are going to be drawn out and set apart completely from the rest, because we are at that time. For everything that we have been praying for and hoping for, and all the words that have come forth have all led to this particular Passover. And here we are. So be aware of the fact that on the 18th, it's called Separation Day. And from that moment on, starting on the 19th, look for great things to happen from heaven, because we are truly his people and he is truly our God. Back to you, Wade. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. Last one for tonight. Bruce, is there anything else, or Linda, is there something you'd like to say before we close?
I just want to speak into John Rockwell's situation, and it's a good example. You know, we pray or we sing the song, you know, see his glory, see his glory, see his glory coming down, praise his name, Yeshua reigns, see his glory coming down, and saw the glory of God come down and minister through him, which goes along with the report that Steve shared at the beginning about the diamond and putting God's light into our hearts. If we place that light into our heart, light is going to be seen through our lives. But rather than being drained from it, John, go forth in power and authority, knowing that God is moving in and through your life. Let that absolutely, how do I want to say, embolden you not to be timid, not to be anything, but to know that God is working mightily by his power and by his spirit. He will use anyone who is yielded and available to him. And praise God you were there and sensitive to his the need of your father-in-law. Praise God for that. So, Father, again, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the mighty work that you've done, that you are doing now, and that you shall yet do, Father God, before the day of your Son, Yeshua. We thank you, Father. We are in your family. We are your sons, your daughters. We desire to see your glory coming down and flow through us, Father God, as we throw flowers over walls, Lord, as we speak life and love and peace, Lord, and people see the glory of God upon us, Lord, they will be drawn unto you. Glorify yourself in our lives and through our lives this week, Father God. Show yourself strong in our behalf, Lord, as we minister your life and your love to others. And we give you the glory and praise in advance for all that in Yeshua's holy name. Amen.
Amen, amen. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. You all have been so faithful, and I'm sure there's a stone in heaven that's going to have faithful on it. It's one of the many I think you'll we'll all receive. I ask that you press into this week. There's powerful, incredible words in the calendar. There's also every day it's coming out on Elijah Streams, Elijah List. Go and look on Elijah Streams at Johnny Enlow's word for today. It will absolutely bless you. Also, I ask that you would pray for our dear friend Barry Wuntz in Canada. Barry had a long Sunday last past Sunday and was literally worn out, and he was upstairs, and he came out of his office and turned and tripped, fell down the stairs and broke both wrists. He's got both arms in casts from the middle of his fingers to his elbows. And he's got a busy schedule. He took off for most of this week, but he's got a bunch of schedule to catch up. The Lord gave him a word that he'd given me that he was supposed to continue and stand for his healing. They're telling him they're going to have surgery on both hands and wrists. And we were praying that that would not be so, that the Lord would heal him and restore him now in Yeshua's name. He is a man of God, and the attacks upon him have been vicious from the enemy. So we shouldn't be surprised at the fiery trials among us. We just press through and rejoice in it every day. And his attitude is of, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to do that which the Lord called me to do. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to cast out demons. And he's done that. And now he's in a situation where he's the one that was under attack. So lift him up. Stand for everyone that you know. Every time you think of a person or a situation, all of us that are on this call and those that minister to you and through you and your family, include us all in it. We try to do it every day, and I'm asking you to do the same. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he give you peace. May the sun shine upon you and let great joy come upon you, because there's newness in the Lord every day. And let that be what awakens you every day, that there's newness in him and joy in him. And you're going to go out and throw flowers. So, Father, thank you, bless you, I exalt you and praise you. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Good night, everybody. May the Lord bless you. Have a good night's sleep. I look forward to talking to many of you and seeing you next week.
Amen.